Judges chapter number 2, verse 6, and when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man into his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he done for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance, Timnath-Hathres, the Mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gaash. And also all that generation were gathered under the fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor the works which the Lord had done for Israel. Verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord. Now these are your people. God, I pray that you would help us this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that you would help me preach. Lord, I just love you, and I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord, that I was saved in this church. Lord, I was called to preach in this church. And Lord, I've been able to serve in this church. We have a great church here. I don't believe nobody here this morning that's been a member of this church that really loves this preacher in this church could not say we got the best church in the world. I believe that with all my heart. If I didn't believe that, really, I would try to find another church. But I know in this church that I've seen God do some great things. I've seen God move in some ways that I never saw Him move in other churches, even since I've been saved. Why do we take our church for granted? But I tell you, this church, I really love this church. Amen. I love the people in this church. People can say, well, I don't know, I don't like the preacher. Well, I thank God for the preacher. Amen. I thank God that he has been the way he has. He's never changed. Amen. I told Brother Wood the other day, Brother David Wood, I said, there's two men in the ministry that I admire. And one's Brother Charlie. And then the other one's Brother Dave, because they've never changed. Amen. Even when adversity has come and people's left the church, they've never changed. They just don't change. And I appreciate that. But I want you to know here in this passage of Scripture, there's two people that die. First of all, the servant of God dies. Joshua dies. And I'm not saying this morning, hey, listen, I'm like Miss Terry. I wish the Lord would just come on back now. But listen, if 50 years from now, the people in this building, the majority of the people in this building, or if God don't come back, we're going to be dead. We're going to be dead. We're going to be gone. We're going to be off the scene. The majority of the people in this church are going to be gone. The saints of God died. The Bible said the elders that outlived Joshua, they died. But one of the saddest statements in this chapter, the Bible says that there arose another generation that knew not God, knew not the Lord. And I'm afraid that we are raising a generation of young people that have no clue who God is. You say, well, preacher, they know who God is. Yeah, they know of God. They know of God. But what's been burdening me is, when are they going to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, listen, you young people should be leading the charge with the amens. Amen. You young people should be leading the charges. Amen. Wanting to serve God in the church. Hey, there's some older folks in here. We're tired. Amen. Our preacher's tired. Right after camp meeting, I went over to Brother Matt's house and I just said, I've got to say something. The majority of the people there were represented was college and career. We had some teenagers. And I said, it's time for us to lead the charge. Amen. It's time for us to say amen in church. It's time for us to pray in church. Can I get an amen right there? And folks, we are dying. And a generation's coming up that won't even know who God is. And 50 years from now, will we still have that banner? 50 years from now, will there be an old-fashioned Bible-believing preacher preaching the Word of God? I began to outline this chapter, and I want you to know, I'll just run through the outline because I only got 2 points. The introduction's really longer than the message. But look at verse number 1, if you would, in Judges chapter 2, verse number 1. And the angel of the Lord come up to Gilgal to Bochim and said, I have made you to go up out of Egypt and brought you into the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice Why have ye done this? Wherefore I say unto thee, I will drive them out before you. I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be as thorns in your side, and their God shall be a snare unto you. First of all, I want you to know God rebukes them in verses 1 through 3. Amen. Folks, do you want God to rebuke us as a church? Amen. I sure don't want that. I know if you read in Revelation, God begins to deal with the churches there in Revelation, and a lot of it's a rebuke. Say, preacher, I don't like to be rebuked. I don't either. I don't like the preacher to say, Brother Justice, I need to see you in my office. Amen. That's like going to the principal's office. Amen. Remember as a child, they would go, Scott Justice, principal's office. You go, oh no, I'm going to the principal's office. Amen. But you know, here in the we find in verses 1 and 3, there's a rebuke from God. God's rebuking the nation of Israel. Why? They did not do what He told them to do. You know, today, Christians, God has told us to come out from among them and be ye separate. And I can tell you, Christians are not being separate from the world. And we wonder why we have no influence. We wonder why there's no power with other people. We wonder why people don't want what we got. Hey, listen, I want people to know that I serve a great God. Amen. There was a rebuke in verses 1 and 3. But look at verse number 4. And it came to pass when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. Can I tell you, not only was God rebuking them there, thank God for a little remorse. I tell you today, there's no more remorse over sin in our churches anymore. You know, we label a fool make a mark of sin, and we throw that on the lost people. But I got the news for you. Christians today have no more remorse. Amen. I'm telling you, young people, we don't want you bragging about your sin. Amen. As adults, we don't need to brag about our sin. I think it's just a slap in the Lord Jesus Christ's face if we're going to sit here and God's rebuked us and there's no remorse. Thank God that there was some remorse. You say, why don't you use repentance there? You'll find out in the chapter they didn't really turn. I ask my kids all the time, and I ask young people when you have to confront them over something and they try to come and they get right with you, is it you're upset because you got caught? Or is it upset because you really done something against your parents? And let me say this, when you sin, it ain't against your parents anyway. If you read the book of Psalms, I believe chapter 51, he said this, against thee and only thee have I sinned. You're sinning against the Holy God. He rebukes them in verses 1 and 3, verses 1 through 3. There's remorse in verse number 4. But I want to tell you there's a reversion. Now, I looked that word up, and that means a turning away or in the opposite direction, a reversal in verse number 10. The Bible says, and also all that generation gathered unto their father, and there rose another generation after them which knew not the Lord. They started regressing. And folks, I'm going to tell you, I don't want to regress. I don't want to revert. Amen. I'm telling you, my friend, I'm telling you something, young people. You need to get excited about what God's doing. Amen. How come you can only go to camp and shout? Amen. Y'all say amen. Help me out. Amen. You're saying you're trying to make me say amen. Yeah, I got wrote up one time preaching in a juvenile detention center because one of the girls said, he made me say amen. Well, it'll help you. Amen. I'm telling you, I don't want to revert. I don't want to go back. If anything, I want to go forward. I want to see God call some young men. I want to see God do some things among this generation. Because one day we're going to look back and say, man, what happened to that generation? We find a rebuke in verses 1 and 3. We find a remorse in verse 4. In verse 10, we find reversion. In verse 11 through 13, we find rebellion. They begin to revert back, and then they rebelled against God. Look what it says in verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed after other gods and the gods of the people that were about them, and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger.
Do you want to provoke the Lord? You know, thank God we do live in the age of grace.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because I'm telling you, all of us wouldn't be here this morning if we weren't in the age of grace. We have provoked the Lord. I don't want the Lord to provoke provoke the Lord. I was talking about that church that preacher left. I'm going to tell you, they were provoking the Lord. They said, we don't care what the Bible says. Can't you compromise on this one thing? Can't you compromise? Thank God that preacher had enough guts to say no. That means I have to leave this church. I'm leaving this church. But I'm not going to provoke the Lord to anger. But look at verse number 16. I mean, the children of Israel, they, you know, there was a rebuke, there was remorse, there was reversion, there was rebellion. But look at verse 16. Nevertheless, the Lord. I think, but God.
Amen.
Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled him. Thank God for redemption this morning.
Amen.
I mean, after all that they've done, the Lord still raised up judges. And if you read the book of Judges, every time that judge died, the Bible said they reverted back. Every time the man of God would die, they would revert back. God forbid. Can I say that again? God forbid. If something happened to our pastor, that this would be our verse, this would be our chapter where we reverted back. I don't want to go back there. Now let me give you this. Well, what's the title, preacher? Who died in this story? Joshua. Joshua died in Joshua 25, but it goes over that again. But you know, there were some things buried with Joshua. There were some things buried with Joshua. Well, it ain't in the Scripture, preacher. Well, I'm doing some assumption this morning. Why was there a generation that rose up that knew who God wasn't? I think some things got buried with the preacher. I think something happened. I think when they buried the preacher, some things happened. And this is what God laid on my heart. Some things that were buried with Joshua. First of all, I want you to know their stories were buried with Joshua. Their stories were buried. Look at verse number 10, if you would. And also all the generation that were gathered unto their father, and there arose after them which knew not the Lord, watch it, nor the yet the works which he had done for Israel. Can I tell you this morning, I don't want my story and I don't want the stories of this church. I don't want them to be buried. I know that maybe that's all we got right now is a bunch of old stories. But I'll tell you, there's some good old stories. I started thinking about how good God's been to this church. And if you ain't got no stories, I'm going to give you some. I remember the day that I was set where Brother Harris was sitting, February 11, 1996. I was sitting in that pew. This is my story, amen. How God got me out of Egypt, and He brought me. And I'm telling you, my friend, I got that morning. I got under convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God, and I'll tell you, my friend, God still saves. And I don't want the story of salvation to ever get to. Say we ain't seen nobody saved in our church. We need to start praying again. God would move, amen. Boy, I remember that day I got out of my pew, and Brother Charlie came right here, and I looked at Brother Charlie, and he was smiling, amen. I said, Brother Charlie, I'm lost, and he just shook his head, and over there, Brother Jay was sitting, and he motioned to Brother Jay, and Brother Jay got the Word of God, and it was right here where I met God. It was the day that I got born again, February 11, 1996. It was the day that I got born again, and washed in the blood, and I got put in the family of God, and I want you kids in this generation to know there's still a God that saves. There's still a God that can wash you from your sins. And my friend, we don't want to live or die and bury with the preacher, amen. Boy, I thought about some other stories. I thought about and I know these youth group, boy, they say we're tired of hearing about the old youth group, but I'm going to tell you, God used to move. We've seen God move. I'll tell you, about 5 years ago, Brother Merritt, you'll remember when God began to move in that camp, and it was on a Tuesday night, and 17 young people walked out and got saved. And I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of God began to move. And I'm going to tell you, you say that's an old story, preacher, but I'm going to tell you something. Those people didn't know the works of the Lord, what He had done for Israel. And I'm going to tell you, there's a God in heaven that's interested in you this morning. And I'm going to tell you, church, we need to let these kids know about the goodness and about the grace of God. And my friend, we don't need to let our stories die. We don't need to let them be buried. Boy, I remember that night God got to moving in there and 17 kids walked the aisle and got saved. And I'm going to tell you, God was there. But Thursday night, I've never seen God move like He did that Thursday night. And boy, I'm going to tell you, we got up, Brother Ellis got up to preach, and it was like he's preaching to that pew. I mean, he said to some of y'all, set your jaw. And I'm talking, it's like God, the people were resisting God. And I'm going to tell you, there was two ladies that got on the altar after the service was dismissed, and they got on the altar, Miss Eileen, and they said, "We ain't getting up until you do something." And about that time, Abby Searcy walked in the back door, and she got on the altar and said, "I'm not leaving until you do something." Our youth group, and they began to pray, and this was about 9:30, about 10 o'clock. Youth group started coming back in there. I mean, we had dismissed, and youth group started coming back in there, and they began to talk about what God's doing in their life. And I'm going to tell you, God began to move in that camp. And you say it's an old story, but you need to hear it. It needs to stay fresh. I know it's an old story, but I'm going to tell you, every time I think about it, I think about the goodness and grace of God, and that God can still do it. God can still move, my friend. We got to let Him moves. We got through that night. I'm telling you, my friend, my wife, I was sitting in there with Brother Ellis and those two ladies. It's been an hour and they ain't got up. And the other girls, I think Brittany was in there. Was that you were with there? And they said, "We ain't getting up until you do something." And boy, I'm sitting in there with Brother Ellis. And my wife said, "You got to go and look outside." And I'm thinking, man, what's going on outside? I remember opening the door of that camp. And I'm going to tell you, there were kids laying in the mud. And you could hear them praying and their voices echoing across that valley there. I'm telling you, that might be an old story, but it's still a good old story. Amen. I don't want it to die. I don't want it to be buried. Amen. I want people to know that God, the same God that done that, can do the same thing. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some things buried with Joshua that day. There's stories. Got stories I can tell you. The 17 years. Listen, I've been here 17 years. It don't seem like I've been here that long, but I'm going to tell you, I've seen God answer prayer like this lady was talking about, Miss Bethany. I remember praying for Elizabeth Quinn. I remember praying for that little girl. Hey, what if that was our girl? And we're sitting here today and we've seen a miracle of God, my friend. Those are the stories that we need to tell our young people, that God can still do it. Amen. But we let our stories die. Might as well just bury them. Say, "Preacher, that's all we got left." Well, thank God we got some stories left. I can remember missionaries coming through here, probably on their last, I'm about through. And God moved in and we were able to get them down the road a little bit. I remember camp meeting when somebody jumped on Brother Graham's back or something. People running around the buildings. Remember those days? You say, "Them are old stories." Well, I don't want them to die. Amen. That's all we got left. Well, at least we got something left. Amen. Amen. There's still a God in Israel. Amen. You know what they were saying? "We don't know nothing about them works." I appreciate these kids that come up, these college and career. They come up through our youth group, and boy, you talking about some of the best days of my life. I wouldn't trade them for the world. But I'm going to tell you, some of you young, you older teenagers, older college and career, you need to start investing back in these young people. Amen. Somebody invested in your life, you better invest back in their life. Amen. Say, "I'm busy." Hey, everybody's busy. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, you better invest in their life, because you're going to look back and say, "Man, I should have done something." I'm telling you, young people, you say you're railing on me this morning. I'm saying there was a generation that rose that knew not the Lord. I mean, if we took all the adults, let's say we took all the people 30 and below, and there was no more but 30 and below, how do you believe the spiritual condition of this church would be? Who's going to take over the mantle of praying? Who's going to take over the mantle of shouting? Amen. Who's going to take over the mantle of lifting their hands? I'm going to tell you, you want to encourage the preacher? Amen. Amen. When Brother Charlie comes back, I told him that day, I said, I refuse to have a Sunday that's dead after camp meeting. And by the grace of God, I said, if nobody else is shouting, me and my wife will shout. Amen. And I wanted Brother Charlie to know that the things that he's done, that God's told him to do, they ain't been in vain.
Amen.
There's still some people that love God. But I'm going to tell you, if we're not careful, we're going to raise a generation that ain't going to know nothing about God. And it started with their stories. They stopped telling their stories. I wonder if Israel would just gather around and say, hey, let me tell you about the time I saw Moses. Amen. My daddy told me about when Moses lifted his hands and the Red Sea parted. Those stories had died and they were buried. Let me give you the last thing. I said it was only a short message. Their stories seem to have been buried with Joshua. Let me say this. Sadly, their standards seem to be buried with Joshua. Boy, this generation today, you don't want no standards. Don't put no standard on me, preacher. I'm telling you, we're doing a disservice for our kids if we're not putting some standards in their life. You say, well, I don't want to tell my kids what to do. Bless God, the state of Alabama will tell them what to do. Amen. I've had kids say, nobody going to tell me what to do. When we worked in juvenile work, they told them when to go to the bathroom. They told them how much toilet paper they could take with them. Amen. Say, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm telling you, you need to thank God that your mom and dad will put some standards on you. But that's being a legalist. Most people don't even know what a legalist is. I've had people tell me about my pastor when I've called him. Well, you know he's a legalist. A legalist is somebody that tells you what you got to do to keep your salvation. I'm telling you, ain't nothing wrong with some standards, amen. We just ain't going there. But everybody else is. Well, we ain't. Amen. My mother used to say this. You probably heard that. Well, everybody else would jump off a bridge. Will you jump off of it? No. Amen. Did y'all ever tell that? Amen. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Verse 11, the Bible said, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. Amen. I'm just going to tell you, I'm just preaching today. You can correct me. It ain't going to bother me. It seems like I get corrected all the time. I live with Miss Tanya. Amen. But I'm telling you, this electronic stuff is killing this generation.
Amen.
It's killing them. You know what I noticed Tuesday night? I wasn't up for camp the whole week. I noticed how all those kids were laying iPods and the preacher's lap. And you know what they were saying? I can't handle it.
Amen.
And so you try to set a standard? Well, my daddy's the dictator. I sure am, as long as you live in my house.
Amen.
I'm the dictator.
Amen.
We're not going to have a door with keep out or my room. You can't enter at your, you know. And we ain't going to have something enter at your own rift either. Amen. Because I ain't living in filth. Amen. There ain't going to be no enter at risk. I think we need to set some standard for our children. Amen. I thank God that our preacher many years ago said this is the standard by which we go. Listen, I don't care if you're at a different church. If you're a member of this church, you need to hold to those standards. Amen, amen, amen. You know what I'm always concerned about? Number one, if I'm going to shame my Lord. Number two, am I going to shame this church?
Amen.
And number three, am I going to shame this preacher? If they ask me to clean toilets, I do it the best of my ability. Amen. If they ask me to work, I'm going to work. I don't want people, I don't want my standards to say, well, they ain't got no standards down at that church. Amen. They ain't got no standards. Hey, their stories seem to be buried, but their standards got buried with them.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I hope our preacher never, never, never buries the standards of this church.
Amen.
Say, well, we kind of laxed a little bit. The preacher hadn't.
That's right. Yeah.
The preacher ain't laxed a little bit. Amen. Y'all say amen out there. Preacher ain't relaxed.
Amen.
I think we need to have some standards.
Yes, sir.
Hey, there used to be a time in our church there was 100% participation among our young people. It ain't that way today. Because moms and dads will say, I don't know, let's pray about it. Well, God's already... why you got to pray about sending them somewhere?
Amen.
Amen. You wouldn't pray about sending them to Water Adventure Park, whatever that place is called.
Amen.
There ain't no prayer to that, but you want to have a youth activity? We can't have it today. Why? Why is it? No standard. Amen. I know when the watches were in there, Miss Earlene would say, I don't know, we're praying about it. We might send them, I don't know. No, they just showed up. I don't think Mr. Terry, by the time called and said, I don't know if Brother Matt and Miss Anna's going to be, I don't know, we're praying about it. I don't know, we're just going to pray about it. Hey, there used to be a time in our church, I'm just telling you some old stories again, where the kids were wrong. Now it ain't that way. You confront a kid today, and they don't care what you say. They don't care if you call them red-handed with the DNA evidence. Well, I don't know if they would do that. I'm going to tell you, my kids will do it. My kids are wicked just like everybody else's are. Amen. Why do you say that? I live with them. Amen. Especially Connor. Look at him. He got that wickedness all over him. Y'all run from him at the church. But why is it that way? The standard used to be the parent's right and the child's wrong. But now you confront the parent. Oh, no, you can't. No. They're wanting to leave the church and everybody's mad. Hey, let's get back to going where we're going when the standards were set. Because you know what's going to happen? They're going to forsake the Lord. You say, we put too much rules on them. They're going to want to get out and experience it. I'm going to tell you, I saw my sister come home drunk many a night to 13 years old. And not one time have I ever wanted to put liquor in my mouth. Not one time. And you kids, I'm going to tell you something. There's a reason we got standards here. There's a reason. You go where I preach. I'm not talking about the youth camp. You go and talk to the little girls that don't have no minds left. Amen? You go to the girls that say, I'll date who I want to date. I was dealing with a girl, and she come up to me and said, I'm dating a 30-something-year-old guy. She was 17 years old. I said, no, you're dating a pervert. Amen. Amen. The next day she come to me, or the next Sunday, she said, I just got news. My friend has been killed. He cut her up and put her in a box. So there's reason we got standards. Amen. Your mom needs to know where you're at. You say, why are you preaching to us? I'm telling you, there was a generation that come up that didn't even know who God was. We left the spiritual condition of this church to these people in this front two rows. What would it be next week? You say, you're railing on us. No, I'm not railing on you. I'm trying to tell you. Somebody needs to pick up the banner. We're getting older. You know, Kelsey or Mary put on my card I was 57 years old. I mean, my goodness, I wish I was to get close to Social Security retirement, amen. Medicaid and all that good things you live, Geritol, all that good stuff. Told my wife today she needed to start taking Geritol. What happens if Brother Charlie passes off the scene? You say you're always talking about that, but do you not think about that?
Come on.
Amen. Wonder how many of us will be here the following week. Wonder how many of us will hold up the banner and say, we ain't doing that.
Amen.
Now I'm going to go ahead and help you here right now. I'm going to help you. You're not going to get another preacher like Brother Charlie.
Amen.
You can go ahead and forget that. There ain't another. God didn't make another one. But I'm going to tell you, he held up that standard. And he's held it up high ever since I've known him. 17 years, he ain't changed one time. And I'm going to tell you, I thank God that I came up under that preacher. I thank God that I got saved under that preacher. I thank God that I've been taught under that preacher. Why? Because he's put something in me. He's given me some stories to tell. He's given me some standards to hold. You young people, this is your church. This is your church. It's not mom and dad's church. It's your church. Is it worth fighting for? It's worth getting on the altar. And I probably won't give an invitation today, but I want to ask you a question. When are you going to fight for it? When are you going to say, I'm going to... Hey, y'all are too busy fussing with each other. I know I'm probably doing pastoral preaching right now, but I'm sick and tired of the fighting and the bickering going on, and there's no unity.
Amen.
Well, we can't get no stories. Well, duh.
Yeah.
You fight with each other.
Amen.
Amen. I mean, there used to be some bickering, but not like that.
Yeah.
Running and talking about people to other people. Yeah. That ain't right.
Amen.
It's not right. But I'm going to tell you, when Joshua passed off the scene, the Bible, I thought it was ironic when he passed off and the Bible said, and the people that served the Lord all the days of Joshua, the Bible said, and there rose a generation that knew not the Lord. And we blame it all on the kids. I'm going to tell you, I think those people need to bear some of the responsibility. Say, well, they're just old stories. I'm telling you, folks, I love those old stories. I love talking about when we went to Waycross, Georgia, and we were in ankle-deep of water hoping we wouldn't get electrocuted. I love telling those stories. I love telling those stories about all these different things that we've done. Amen? I love telling those stories. And I hope to God one day some of you kids get up here and say, y'all remember when? But their stories seem to be buried. And I'm going to tell you, there is a God in Israel. You know what? When David went to face Goliath, he come up and he made this statement. He said, we always preach there is a cause. You know what his cause was? You read the end of the chapter. He said, I'm going to defeat you. And I'm paraphrasing. He said that they may know there's a God in Israel.
Amen.
That, I believe that was his cause, to let people know there's still a God. Hey kids, that God we're talking about that moved in camp meeting, that moved in camp, that saved me, amen. He's still the same God. He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. But you know what? Half of the kids that come to church today, they look bored. They're not excited. I'm excited. Why? Because you got to preach. No, I'm just excited because I'm saved. You know, I'm saved and ain't nothing the devil can do about it. I got the best church in the world. We're fixing to go up. And the churches we're going to, they're decent churches. They're real good churches up in Canada. They ain't like this one.
Amen.
Ain't like this one. But I, by the grace of God, my story ain't going to be buried. My kids are going to know the day their daddy got saved.
Amen.
The day the devil moved out and God moved in. They're going to remember that story. Amen. They're going to remember the story of us getting in church and God doing things. Amen. They're going to remember the stories.
Amen.
Now, I want to challenge you. Our pastor passed off the scene. I wonder if the stories are going to get buried with him. I wonder if his standards are going to get buried.
Say,
why do you talk like that? Because it just... Guys, we got to start thinking. Where are we going to be in 20 years? Where are we going to be in 15? Where are we going to be in 5 years? Are the stories going to die and be buried with us? What are we going to do? And I want to encourage you. You pray for our pastor.
Amen.
What about the story of him being in a wheelchair?
Yeah.
They bringing him up here. They ain't in no wheelchair. Why? Because we got a God in Israel.
Amen.
Kids, young people, adults, this is our church. And I'm proud to be a member of our church. This ain't Brother Charter's church. This is our church. And these are our stories. And these should be our standards. I sure don't want them to be buried when the preacher passes off the scene or the saint of God. The Bible said the saint of God passed off the scene too. I'm going to pray and let these do business with the Lord. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for grace and mercy. Lord, I thank you for our church. This is our church. Lord, this is where you placed us. Lord, I don't want to be a bad testimony to our church. I don't want to be a bad testimony, most of all, to you. Lord, I want those stories to be told to this next generation and the generation after that. I want our standards to be left intact, Lord. I don't want to come in here 10 years from now and we're preaching out a different Bible. God, we got a rock band up on the stage. We got a worship leader instead of a song leader. And we got a pretender instead of a pastor. Lord, I don't want that. Lord, I thank you for the ones at the altar. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that they don't want it to die. Lord, they don't want our stories to be buried and our standards to be buried. I pray, God, that You would be with us, Lord. Help us to hold that bloodstained banner high. Lord, we're going to go in some dangerous times, Lord. Lord, I know when I was in China, and Lord, You were with us every step of the way. Lord, I love You and thank You in Jesus' name. We'll let these pray at the altar.